Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh.
Good evening, Inside Movie fans. It is Monday, August 1st, 2016, on the day of the trade deadline that just passed about an hour and a half ago. A lot of breaking Pirates news. Latest one being Francisco Liriano being dealt to the Blue Jays for Drew Hutchinson. They also sent double-A outfielder Harold Ramirez to the Blue Jays in that trade. And what first strikes me in that deal is that Liriano has obviously not been good this year. He was not good yesterday against the Brewers as they fell 4-2. And I think on the Pirates' part, it definitely was a good trade to trade Liriano because of the pitching staff that they have right now. There was really no room for him in the rotation. At some point, he would have had to move to the bullpen. And the Pirates did just sign him to the most lucrative deal in team history. And that might have upset some fans. But I get that at the end of the day, Neil Huntington wanted to get a quality young pitcher in Drew Hutchinson, who has definitely a lot of upside, and just get rid of dead weight, which is what Francisco Liriano is right now. He has not been good at all on the hill. He's expected to be one of the forces in the rotation. And when the season began April 3rd against Cardinals, he was brilliant. He struck out 10 and was great against Cardinals. He has not been great since then. And really with Liriano, it's been he doesn't really throw many strikes. And but he does strike out a lot of people. That's because of his great slider that he gets a lot of chases on. And the main part with him is getting those chases. And he hasn't been getting chases this year. He's had the most walks per nine of any qualified starter, and that has really not changed. He has an ERA above 5, and he was bad in the NL Central, just plain and simple. And the NL Central is not really that hard of a division to play in. Hitters ballpark-wise, he's pitched in PNC Park, which is pretty pitcher-friendly. Left center is extremely deep, so against right-handers who you think would tend to hit better off him, he has that deep left-center gap, and against left-handers, it's not really good for PNC Park either. But the NL Central has nothing compared to the AL East on the amount of hitters ballparks there and the hitters that reside in the AL East, even though the Yankees are rebuilding there. So I do not think he will do well with the Blue Jays at all. He will not throw strikes because he has not been throwing strikes at all for the Pirates this year. And when he does have his good starts, it's because there is nobody on base. He is not good from the stretch. His mechanics lag from the stretch. His body gets too far ahead of his arm, and his arm can't catch up. That results in pretty much bad pitches. And the pitches that do come in for strikes are often hanging up there because the velocity is as much, and if he's throwing any breaking stuff, it's obviously not going to help. If your body is getting into it, it's your arm. So his mechanics are not there, and the fact that Reyes Steerage, who turned around Francisco Liriano, is not coming in with him to Toronto, you might not know how it works out there for him. And they will have him for 3 years, so I get that the Blue Jays, they want a left-handed pitcher, but if they wanted to make a deal to improve their team, I definitely would not have gone after Francisco Liriano, who has just not been good for the Pirates at all this year. And I like the Pirates acquiring Drew Hutchinson in this trade, too. That's why they had to throw in Harold Ramirez. And Drew Hutchinson, he does have a lot of promise. He is not going to be a free agent until 2019, and I do like what I've seen so far and the promise that he has shown. Really, his big league career hasn't been the greatest. But if you were to pick a best year for him, it would probably be 2014 when he went 11-13 and had a 4.4 ERA. That's when he showed the most promise. This year, he hasn't really been in the big leagues all that much. He's only pitched 12 2/3. But in that time, 1-0, but the 4.97 ERA. Again, he does have promise, so I like that. Only 25 years old and will be – it not be a free agent until 2019 under arbitration. So good team-friendly deal for the Pirates to get, and he is a right-hander. I assume he will, in the future be working out of the bullpen, and that will all be good news there. I do not know much about Harold Ramirez. All I do know is he is in Double-A. He is an outfielder, so I guess that must have been a throw-in on the Pirates' side because of Drew Hutchinson coming back in return, who does show promise. And once again, Liriano traded to the Blue Jays for Drew Hutchinson and going to Toronto as well, Double-A outfielder Harold Ramirez. Again, I do not think it's a good trade on the Blue Jays' part. I like the trade from the Pirates' perspective. It clears up the rotation. It now allows Cole to easily be the leader. And with a lot of new guys coming in from both internally in the minor leagues, like Glasnow, Cole, Tyone, Stephen Brault, definitely frees up some space. And with Vogelsong coming back, Locke will be back in the rotation. It clears up some much-needed room and a bad starting pitcher that did not show much promise and is aging as well. Next big trade the Pirates did make today is they acquired Yankees left-handed pitcher Ivan Nova for two players to be named later. So the Pirates, they are looking to acquire starting pitching. Even though they did subtract Francisco Liriano earlier in the day, they did add Ivan Nova, who I really like this trade. One, because we're not giving up much. Don't even know what they're giving up two players to be named. So Pirates can name those players later, depending on how Ivan Nova does. If you remember last year, even though Ivan Nova does not have good numbers, last year, J.A. Happ on the Seattle Mariners, he was acquired from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you saw how amazing he did with the Pirates and the deal that he signed up north in Toronto. I think that's what we expect, what I'm expecting to see out of Ivan Nova, and I fully expect Ivan Nova to help lead the playoff push for the Pirates and be a pivotal part of the rotation. And Pirates announcers were saying Sunday that we'll see how the rotation looks after this trade deadline. We'll see how what Clint Hurdle says tomorrow on what the pitching rotation is going to look like. But if I were Clint Hurdle, my rotation would probably be Gerrit Cole being the number one. I would then definitely keep Jameson Taillon in the rotation. I'd definitely have Ivan Nova in there. And then those are the three for sure guys I'd keep in the rotation. Cole, Taillon, and Nova. Obviously, we acquired Ivan Nova, so you got to keep him in the rotation. Then you do have options there on who to keep and on what to do there. I know there's Stephen Brault. I know there's Chad Cole. Tyler Glasnow is hurt right now, but he will be back at some point. Vogelsong is coming back from the DL, and Locke is also there too. So if I were to pick a number four today, I would probably have to go with Jeff Locke. He has been good for the Pirates this year. When he's good, he's been great. When he's been bad, he definitely has been really bad. But I'd rather take that feast or famine guy over an unproven guy like Stephen Brault coming out. And then I think the five spot, it really will, I think, we'll see how Ryan Vogelsong does. If he does well, I think he'll stay in the rotation. If Jeff Locke doesn't do well, I don't think he'll stay in the rotation either. So Vogelsong and Locke, I think, are the expendable pieces. And if they do not do well, I think you could easily throw Chad Cool in there. And I easily think you could also throw Stephen Brault into that rotation too. And Locke and Vogelsong, they have to prove themselves because the young guys will be up and they will be coming. And Glasnow, when he's back, I think he will also have the freedom to move into that rotation. Again, the Cole will definitely be in the rotation. Taillon will definitely be in that rotation. And Nova, I think, will definitely be in that rotation. And then whoever doesn't make the rotation, we have Pirates have great long reliever options. Vogelsong, Locke, Glasnow, Cole, Brault. Whoever they decide to keep, they'll be great working out of the long reliever spot. And I love the trade by the Pirates, going out and getting Ivan Nova. And now it gives Clint Hurdle the options. And hopefully the five that he picks, they will stick, and the starting pitching will give good quality innings for Clint Hurdle because the bullpen has been overused. And if Nova can come in and he can give longevity for the Pirates, that will be key. And again, this guy, 2001, won 16 games, Ivan Nova. The Pirates, if they can turn him into that again just for a couple months down the playoff stretch, even and if he does do that, he definitely will get a lucrative deal somewhere because we saw what happened with J.A. Happ. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball when he came over from Seattle. And that's what I'm hoping I will see out of Ivan Nova. Not what I'm expecting, but definitely what I'm hoping to see out of him. And I'm definitely very excited to see what Ivan Nova does down the stretch for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Another move that the Pirates made today, they traded former Met Jonathan Neese back to the Mets and reacquired former Pirate Antonio Bastardo. And I think this was just a trade of struggling pitchers on both ends. Jonathan Neese, he was great at the beginning of the season, one of the better pitchers the Pirates had. I was excited to see what we had with him. 3 years of him, Rennie Walker, who's going to be Pirates weren't going to be able to resign anyway. I like the deal. And pretty much, we're getting back Antonio Bastardo. Quality left-hander of the bullpen. I think Ray Stewart will work his magic once more. I think he likes it in Pittsburgh. He did well in Pittsburgh. And that's fully what I'm expecting to see out of him now. And I really like the bullpen now. Tony Watson, Eftali Feliz, Jared Hughes, and now you add Antonio Bastardo back into that. Take away Jonathan Neese, who I'm pretty sure was upset that he was moved to the bullpen because he was brought here to be a starting pitcher, and he's not been a starting pitcher. But yes, he was good to the bullpen when he came. I do not know what his circumstances will be in New York. I assume he might be a starter, could be a long reliever. We'll see. But I definitely do think Jonathan Neese likes it better in New York. And actually, Neil Walker and Jonathan Neese, when Neil Walker traded to the Mets for Jonathan Neese, Neil Walker actually switched living arrangements with Jonathan Neese. Jonathan Neese needed to sell his apartment in New York City, and Neil Walker gladly took it. The agents worked a deal out. We'll see where John Neese lives, and maybe Neil Walker and him will be rooming sooner than later. I'm pretty sure Neese likes to go back. I'm pretty sure Bastardo likes to come back too, and you just add another left-handed arm to a bullpen that's already been so good and gives Clint Hurdle yet another useful option. Now, Mark Melanson trade, big trade. The Pirates traded Mark Melanson to the Nationals over the weekend for Felipe Rivero and Taylor Hearn, and I love the trade. The Nationals, they get Mark Melanson. They get him for a couple months. That's great. And the Pirates, in return, they get Felipe Rivero, who I am most excited about. I loved him in his Pirates debut last night. He pitched yesterday afternoon. He pitched one inning, one hit, walked one, but struck out two. This is a guy, left-hander, that can throw 100-plus miles per hour. He has a great slider and has definite promise. He has signed with the Pirates now, I guess, until 2021. And to get that kind of talent for Mark Melanson, who is a great closer, no doubt, and the Pirates are going to have to contend with the Nationals and contend with Mark Melanson. But there was no chance that the Pirates would bring back Mark Melanson because, obviously, they're a small-market team, and Mark Melanson is going to be demanding big money, I guess. And that was not going to come from the Pirates. And the fact that they flipped him for Felipe Rivero and Taylor Hearn. Taylor Hearn, another great left-handed pitcher, drafted this past year in the first round 2015 draft by the Nationals. And he is a solid left-handed pitcher. He threw the ball over 100 miles per hour. And the Pirates definitely did get a great return from Mark Melanson. And I am excited to see Felipe Rivero down the stretch. And I am excited to see Taylor Hearn in the future. And the Pirates, I think they definitely were winners this trade demand. They gave up Francisco Liriano. They gave up Harold Ramirez. They gave up Jonathan Neese. And they gave up Mark Melanson as well as two players to be named later. And in return, they got Felipe Rivero, threw the ball 100-plus miles per hour, great left-handed pitcher. Taylor Hearn, definite promise, can throw the ball 100-plus miles per hour. They got Ivan Nova, who I think will be the next J. Happ reclamation project of Ray Searidge, and he will be great down the stretch. They got Antonio Bastardo. He was a great left-hand pitcher last year out of the bullpen for the Pirates, and I think he will be as great as he was last year. And they got Drew Hutchison, who has definite promise, right-hander, signed through 2019. So I think Neil Huntington, a lot of fans are questioning what he has done, but do not fear, do not worry, because I love what he has done. And it is building for the future. It is building for this year. And it is allowing the Pirates to get rid of some dead weight in Liriano. It's allowing the Pirates to give it a contract so they will not be able to re-sign in Mark Melanson. And Jonathan Neese, who's also been a little bit of dead weight, ship those guys out. Allow the new guys to come in, the rookies, the guys coming off the DL. And this rotation is going to be exciting. The bullpen is going to be exciting. And I'm excited to see what the Pirates will be able to do down the stretch because the offense has been there. The pitching has been the concern. And hopefully, with these moves, it will just empower the Pirates to make the playoffs. I do not think they will win the division. I hope they do. But I ultimately think they will get that first or second wildcard spot because of the moves Neil Huntington has made today and over this past trade deadline weekend. All right, we have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. But when we come back, we're going to recap the weekend of the Pirates and how they got swept by the Brewers. That's next. Back in Inside MLB, we were just talking about the Pirates' deadline moves. Again, they acquired most recently Francisco Liriano and Harold Ramirez, double-A outfielder, for Drew Hutchison. Prior to that, they traded Jonathan Neese for Antonio Bastardo, sort of a flip of former Pirates and former Mets, come back to their original teams. They traded Ivan Nova for two players to be named later, and they traded Mark Melancon for Felipe Rivero and Taylor Hearn. Loved the deadline by the Pirates, hoping it will help them down the stretch. Now let's talk about how in the world the Pirates got swept by the Milwaukee Brewers over the weekend. And when the Pirates went into Milwaukee, they were coming off a high spot. They just beat the Mariners 10-1. The offense was clicking. The pitching was great. Gerrit Cole threw his first career complete game. And everything was looking up for the weekend. They were going to a struggling Milwaukee team, and it was looking to be great, right? So to start off the weekend, the Pirates had young pitcher Stephen Brault making his second career start, and I thought he did look good in his first start against the Cardinals, and I was excited to see how he fared against the Brewers. And I thought he did pretty good. He went six innings, seven hits, three runs, all were earned, walked three, and struck out three. So if you look at it, six innings, that's what you pretty much asked for out of a rookie pitcher. It was a quality start, three earned runs or less, and he did that. But the one concerning thing is he allowed seven hits, and there was really no clean inning. In fact, for the whole time Stephen Brault was pitching, I'll go over the sort of runs, hits, and people left on base. First inning, two runs, two hits, nobody left on base. Second inning, no runs, one hit, one runner left on base. And the third was really his only clean inning, where Jonathan Villar bounced to Jordy Mercer, Scooter Gennett flew out to Gregory Polanco, and Hernan Perez grounded out to Josh Harrison. That was his only clean inning. Besides that, in the fourth, no runs, one hit, no runners left on base. And my bad, he actually had a clean inning in the fifth where he got Keon Broxton to pop out to Jordy Mercer. He got Chase Anderson to ground out to Jung Ho Gone, and he got Jonathan Villar to strike out. And in the sixth, no runs, two hits, and two runs left on base. So it was a blue collar start by Stephen Brault. Had two clean innings, but besides that, there was a lot of base runners. I mean, that just goes for his whip, obviously being over one with three walks, seven hits over six innings, and that happened to lead up to three runs, which lost the game. He did get the loss, now 0-1 in his major league career. And I thought he pitched well enough to get a win if the offense would have shown up, but the offense didn't show up. And pretty much the best player in Pirates game was Starling Marte, and he had a double and a single. The ninth was actually pretty promising for the Pirates that Friday night, but the only thing that came out with it started with Matt Joyce. And Matt Joyce, the pinch hitting extraordinaire this year for the Pirates, he has been great. He gets the rally starting, he gets the clutch hits. And he started the rally on Friday night where they prevented a shutout, wasn't Chase Anderson, Junior Guerra from getting a complete game shutout. In fact, he didn't get the complete game. He didn't get the shutout. So, I mean, good job on the Pirates' part there. I think they could have tied it up in the ninth, but Jeremy Jeffries came in and he shut the door and pretty much did not allow the Pirates to do anything. And it was actually a pretty scary scene on Friday night when Francisco Cervelli exited the game. It was sort of a weird exit who was pitching. Juan Nicasio, he was pitching in the bottom of the eighth inning. And it started off well. Hernan Perez bounced out to John Jaso. Then Scooter Gennett came up on a 1-2 count. Juan Nicasio hit him, and you think Scooter Jeanette gets hit, he would be the most likely person to come out of the game. But no, Francisco Cervelli actually came out of the game, and he thought he had broken his ankle. It was definitely a scary moment. Ben Batanzanio and Todd Tonzik had to carry Cervelli off the field. And I did not think he would be catching the next night, but lo and behold, Francisco Cervelli was back there, and he was catching. So that is definitely great there. Great news that he is back. He didn't start yesterday, day off. Eric Fryer started. But I definitely do think that Cervelli, he needs to come on down the stretch because he is really known to me as just a solid player. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. He has great enthusiasm, and he's just steady. That's what I know him as, Steady Cervelli, you could call him. Definitely an animated figure, great for the pitching rotation, great for the young guys. I love him. He's signed to a long-term extension now, and I hope he does well in the future, and I'm glad that he has not been hurt at all. But, yeah, not really good night for the Pirates on Friday as they fell to the Brewers 3-1, and that was just the beginning of the sweep. And really none of these games were onslaughts. The next game they lost 5-3 to the Brewers, and I thought Jameson Taillon, he pitched fantastic. He did not pitch poorly enough to get a loss. He went 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, both of them earned. Didn't walk any and struck out 6. Didn't have a lot of pitch in there, but besides that, it was a great outing by Jameson Taillon, another promising outing. And he pitched way too well to get a loss. In fact, if I was the official scorekeeper, I would have given Archimedes Caminero the loss because he only went 2/3 of an innings, 1 hit, but 2 earned runs, walked 1. That's why I would have given him the loss because if you factor everything out, Taillon did not give up the losing run. So the losing run was the 4th run, and that 4th run came on Archimedes Caminero's hands. So definitely I would have given Caminero the loss. Caminero probably pitched worse in that game, but Taillon definitely didn't promise. And in fact, besides Clayton Kershaw, who has excellent command, Taillon is number 2 in strikeouts per walk ratio, and he has excellent command. He's not one of those pitchers that can just throw strikes, but he's one of the pitchers that wherever Cervelli's or Fryer's gloves are, he puts it on that spot. The curveball is excellent. It's an amazing hook. I love the fastball. He places it perfectly, and he just gets weak contact out of most pitches, and I think that was most excellently showed back when he faced the Mets in his second major league start. He had a no-hitter going through the 8th inning, and he definitely has promise. That's why I have him penciled into that rotation, right behind Gerrit Cole, right ahead of Ivan Nova. And Jameson Taillon is definitely very exciting. And we finally see the Cole-Taillon duo that the Pirates fans have definitely been longing for. It's been a long time coming, but Cole is here. Taillon is here. They are here to shine, and they are here to lead the Pirates to the playoffs. And I do think that Taillon will do well down the stretch. Now, offensively in that game, not really much going. Gregor Polanco, he did hit a home run in the 8th to cut it to a 4-2 lead, but in the 8th for the Brewers, Naftali Feliz came on and Kirk Neuenhuis hit a home run, so that erased that, making it 5-2. Pirates did come back a little bit in the 9th. Actually, a 2-out lightning inning, you could call it. Then it started out with Starling Marte lining out to Scooter Jeanette, then Jung Ho Gan bounced out to Jonathan Villar. Francisco Cervelli singled, Josh Harrison walked, Jordy Mercer drove in, Cervelli on a single, but then Sean Rodriguez ended the inning with a flyout to center field. And I thought at that point the Pirates had a chance in that game. And in the first two games of the series, they had rallies going in the 9th where they could have tied up the game, but they just couldn't come through. And they didn't really come through with runners in scoring position all series. And before the first Mariners game where they won 10-1, they did not do well with runners in scoring position at all in the first game. Let me pull up the score of that. The Pirates, 7-4, yes, and they should have won that game. They outhit the Mariners. They outplayed the Mariners, but the Mariners just found a way to win that game. They stole the game for the Pirates. It was not a pretty win, but they did win the game. And again, Pirates had chances. They just could not capitalize. They could not get more than 3 runs on 8 hits. Definitely very disappointing. Other people with RBIs besides Jordy Mercer, you had Jung Ho Gan getting RBI on a single in the 4th inning. And actually, it was an interesting case Saturday. It's sort of hard to explain, but pretty much Jung Ho Gan singled. and Andrew McCutchen was on second. Starling Marte was on first. Andrew McCutchen scored easy. The throw came into the cutoff, went from left field to third base. And Starling Marte thought he was going to get an easy 90. He was going to go to third. And he got into a rundown to allow Jung Hoo Kwon to advance to second. And it went from left field to third to second to short. And pretty much what Marte did is he just stood there because Kwon was already on second. He turned to second. He saw Kwon there. And pretty much what I was thinking in that scenario was, why doesn't Kwon just give himself up? Because you'd rather have Marte on second base than Kwon on second base. And that was shown when Josh Harrison was up. He singled. Kwon tried to come home, and he was thrown out pretty easily. Kwon tried to do a little bit of a maneuver. But Marte would have scored easily on that play, and that might have made it a 5-4 game. And you never know with runners on first and second in the ninth. If Rodriguez gets a base hit there, then it's a 5-5 game. Definitely changes the aspect of the game and what might have happened. But Starling Marte had a base running miscue that caused the game to be different. And Marte also had a base running blunder prior to that in the second inning when he was caught stealing at third base. He singled to lead out the inning. If he would have gotten over to third base, it would have been great because Kwon was up, could have had him on a sacrifice fly. But it's funny because I think that game came down to base running blunders. It came down to both Marte. It came down to Kwon. And I think they were really the people at fault in this game. Time pitched great. Common error didn't. So the three people I think that were at fault for this game, Starling Marte, even though he did have two hits, 2-for-3, I think his base running blunders may have cost the game. And Jung Hoo Kwon was also, I think, a factor in that one, too. Let's move on to most recent game, Sunday afternoon. They lost again, and Francisco Liriano, the now Blue Jay, got lost. He moved to 6-11, went 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, 4 earned runs, walked 3, struck out 7, and hit a batter. And Blue Jays, that's pretty much what you're getting with Francisco Liriano. Not a dependable starter. He can go 5 innings, give up 4 runs, and that might be his best. He has not been good for the Pirates. I did not expect him to do well for the Blue Jays, and I would not be surprised if I'd actually like Drew Hutchison to do well, just despite the Blue Jays for taking Hap, I was most mad about the J.A. Hap acquisition because I believe the Pirates, if they would have re-signed J.A. Hap, would be great this year. But Liriano going to the Blue Jays, and I do not think they will fare well with Liriano, to say it nicely. Max Moroff, he made his Major League debut Sunday afternoon. Pinch hit, but he did strike out. Who was pitching in the eighth? Will Smith was pitching. The now Giant, I believe, was pitching to Max Moroff. A lot of trades by the Brewers. You never know what would have happened in the series if the recently traded people were not on the team. Would the Pirates have fared any differently? And that definitely, this week, definitely had a hit in the standings. Did not help them at all. So let's take a look at the wild card standings now. The Pirates are now 52-51, 4-6 in the last 10, losers of 3 straight. And now 4 games back to the Marlins, who have a 1-game lead on the Cardinals and a 2.5-game lead on the Mets. And the Pirates now have to leapfrog 2 teams to get to the Marlins. So definitely not the best case scenario for the Pirates right now. The trades I definitely think will help. They will go a long way into improving this organization. And hopefully those trades will allow the Pirates to go, you know, deeper into the season, hopefully make the playoffs, and we will see how everything works out for them in the future. And I am excited to see everything. Hopefully we'll not repeat the series against the Brewers. The Pirates have actually lost 9 straight games in Miller Park, and hopefully next time they go back there, pull up the schedule, they go back to Miller Park on – hold on. Yes, they go back to Miller Park on August 25th, so hopefully they do not get swept there. We have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. When I come back, we are going to be moving on to widening our spectrum. We're going to be talking about how the Rangers are the clear AL West favorites after adding Jonathan Lucroy and Carlos Beltran. That's next.
would be king. And you would be my queen.
We're back in the MLB after talking a little bit about the Pirates' trade deadline moves, talking about how they got swept to the Brewers, and now it's time to talk about the Rangers and how they are the clear AL West favorites after adding Jonathan Lucroy and Carlos Beltran. So after the Jonathan Lucroy between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cleveland Indians fell apart, the Brewers had to find a team that wasn't on Lucroy's no trade list. Luckily, the Texas Rangers needed a catching upgrade as they've had to piece the position together with Robinson Chirinos missing a lot of time with injuries. Lucroy and power arm reliever Jeremy Jeffries head to the Rangers for outfielder Luis Brinson and pitcher Luis Ortiz. And I was actually pretty surprised after Jonathan Lucroy did not accept the trade to go to the Indians, because it looked like a good position there, even though Carlos Santana is there. The Indians are one of the best teams in the American League right now. They're playing great. They're going to make the playoffs. Great pitching rotation, great future ahead. And pretty much he said, if you don't tear apart the option for next year, then I'm not going. That did not happen. He did not go. And I thought it would have been a good position for him there. I was surprised. I was shocked. I thought it was a done deal. And the fact that he did not accept it was a bit surprising. But the Indians was definitely a great scenario for him. But I think the Rangers are even a better scenario for Jonathan Lucroy because of what they have going for him there. And the Rangers actually were on that no-trade list. Another team that was on that no-trade list that I heard about this morning was the Braves. And the Braves were looking a little bit at Brian McCann. Might he go to Atlanta was the question. But the Rangers were on that list. And, again, Robinson Chirinos is not there. And Robinson Chirinos is definitely – Lucroy is definitely a improvement over Chirinos. And I think the lineup is going to be great with Lucroy in that. And Jeremy Jeffries, I saw him firsthand this weekend, pitched all three games against the Pirates. He is lights out, power arm. And Luis Brinson, Luis Ortiz, definitely a big haul for those two players to go to the Brewers. But I do think that it was worth it. And the Rangers are going to definitely be a scary team this postseason. In addition, the Rangers picked up Carlos Beltran from the Yankees for Dylan Tate last year's fourth overall pick, who has struggled in Class A this year. Beltran isn't really proven. He's struggled a bit this year, but he's going to do well in Texas, I think. It's a great hitter's ballpark, moved from hitter's ballpark to hitter's ballpark, and Dylan Tate has been struggling. So roll the dice with Tate. Not really roll the dice with Beltran. You know what you're going to get, and I like what is going to be getting. So I'm going to pose a question to you guys now. How do you like this lineup for the Rangers? We'll start at the top. Left fielder or right fielder? Jerickson Profar, Shin-Soo Choo at the top. Then you get right fielder or left fielder Nomar Mazara, center fielder Ian Desmond, third baseman Adrian Beltre, DH Carlos Beltran, catcher Jonathan Lucroy, second baseman Rugnan Odor, first baseman Mitch Moreland, and shortstop Elvis Andrus. At the top of the lineup, I love Jerickson Profar, and I love Shin-Soo Choo. Definitely great top of the lineup. Nomar Mazara has definite pop in that bat, great number two hole hitter. Ian Desmond, I think the bargain of the free agency season, has definitely turned around with the Rangers as an outfielder, not an infielder. Adrian Beltre, he just gets better with age. Then you get Beltran and Lucroy in that lineup, who shouldn't be batting that low, but will be batting that low because of how great the Rangers lineup is. Then you get Rugnan Odor, who's definitely turned around from the beginning of the season last year. Mitch Moreland, I think the only weakness in that lineup. And then Elvis Andrus. So definite great lineup for the Rangers, and I love it. It is going to be dangerous, and I am excited to see how the Rangers do, and they are definitely the clear favorites after the trade and after what the trade does to the lineup. And the Rangers, pretty much the only thing that they didn't get was the starting pitcher they needed, but that lineup goes nine deep, and it gives Jeff Banister the flexibility to do a lot of mix and matching once Chu returns from the stabilist. Profar, he can move all over the diamond. Beltran can play the outfield. Duino DeShields is available as a speed guy off the bench, and GM John Daniels managed to hold on to Joey Gallo. And the only hit you can put on the deadline season is that they didn't get a starting pitcher. I think that Ivan Nova probably would have worked out great in Texas. I think Francisco Liriano could have worked out there. I think Jonathan Meese could have worked out there. But the Pirates, they didn't decide to deal with the Rangers and their former bench coach, Jeff Banister. But all three of those could have worked out, and I think they could have, the Rangers could have gotten them for relatively cheap, I think. And I'm surprised that they didn't pull the string on one of those three guys. But pretty much, the lineup goes nine deep. Give Jess Spanish the flexibility, and lineups can win baseball games. It is the truth. They can win baseball games. It was proven in Toronto last year. They didn't have a great pitching rotation, but they did have a great lineup. And the Rangers, they do have a pretty good pitching rotation. They still have Cole Hamels. They still have Yu Darvish. That was more than the Blue Jays have with David Price. And I like the Rangers a lot more than I like the Blue Jays last year. So I like the flexibility. Mixing and matching is going to be great. When Chu comes back, you can pretty much throw Profar or Chu at the top of the lineup. Mazzara can play right field and left field. And I like Beltran's ability to play the outfield, too. You can give plenty of guys days off in the field, have their power bat in the lineup still, and it definitely puts Jeff Banister in a power position and the Rangers in a power position to see what they can do. And doing it, the Shields, always available for pinch running in late-game situations when, for example, Carlos Beltran gets on base. Not a very speedy guy. Put Duino de Shields in, and he can steal base for you. Joey Gallo, definite power prospect. Somehow John Daniels was able to hold on to him. He is definitely exciting for the future for the Rangers, and I'm definitely excited to see what they will be able to do with Lucroy, with Gallo, with Beltran, because it is definitely exciting, and the Shields, exciting player off the bench as well. And I think if the Rangers are able to hold on to win the AL West, they'll try to replicate the Royals' strategy in the postseason. Trust your bullpen. The big difference, however, is the Rangers have two top-of-the-rotation starters in Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish to help ease the burden on the relievers. And last year, the Royals, they won the World Series pretty much on their bullpen. And the Royals didn't have a great starting rotation. But the Rangers, they do have top-of-the-rotation guys, Hamels and Darvish. And I would peg them as the World Series favorites right now. I know people are saying the Cubs are going to win the World Series, but to me, the Rangers are the World Series favorites. The Cubs, here's the thing, they even after Adam Chapman, I don't think they have that great of the bullpen. And I think the Rangers do have a great bullpen, and they do have two of the top rotation starters. I think the Rangers lineup is better than the Cubs lineup, and I would not be surprised if we're seeing Rangers, Cubs, two powerhouse teams fighting for it all in the World Series this October. And if I had to make my prediction, I'd say it would be one of the best World Series ever. You get the Rangers and you get the Cubs there. I think the Rangers would win that in seven. I think they would finally win World Series for Texas because we know what happened when they lost, I think, three straight. Yeah. So, talking about Lucroy now. I think he should have no trouble adapting to a new staff. He's known as a smart guy and a hard worker, one of the better pitch framers in the game. He's hitting 300, and his bat should translate well to the hitting environment in Texas. Lucroy didn't end up getting anything, but he put his hand in. Maybe he figured he'd rather end up with the Rangers than the Indians. Texas is much more likely to sign into a long-term extension, given the team's financial resources. And a lot of people say when you trade a catcher, how is he going to adapt to a new staff? But Lucroy, he's a smart guy. And I don't know, catchers, when they're good, they matter a lot to his staff. Lucroy is a great catcher, but he's mainly known for his bat. He definitely has great defensive skills. But smart guy, I think he'll have no problem adapting to the staff. Again, known as a smart guy, a hard worker. He has one of the better pitch framing numbers in the game, and he will have no problem easily adapting to the Rangers staff. And right now, his bat also helps out the cause, too. Great defense, great mind, 300 batting average, and Texas is a great hitting environment. I mean, he's coming from Milwaukee, which is also a great hitting environment, but the fact that he's in the American League now, I think that will help him out. And not in the NL Central where he has to face guys like Jake Arrieta pitching. So I think the West will be great for Lucroy, and I think that he showed that he is powerful too. I think he showed that the Indians, that he has power over them. And I think he likes Texas more than he likes Cleveland. And the reason is that because it's the Rangers, they can sign him long-term. I don't think he wants to do all this moving around. He just wants to settle down with the Rangers, have the Rangers take the option, and then have them re-sign him to a long-term extension. Because the Indians, they definitely cannot have done that. And even though the Indians, I think, would have been a good scenario for him, he wants to stay in Texas, and he wants to stay in Texas for the rest of his career, in my mind, as long as they don't go rebuild between then and now. And as for Beltran, I don't think you can deny his numbers as he's hitting for a 304 average. I mean, all of those, some of that is the result of the cozy dimensions at Yankee Stadium, where he is slugging 961 compared to the 817 on the road. The Rangers will slot him at DH, which means they didn't trust Gallo to do the job down the stretch on a regular basis. Beltran has a history of performing in the postseason, of course, with the career slugging mark above 600. That doesn't mean he'll perform in this year's postseason if the Rangers get there, though. That's the one only hitch on him, I think. And, I mean, he's hitting 304 right now, so the Rangers, they pretty much went out to the market. They got two veterans that are hitting over 300. Now, you don't know if they come there and they don't do well, but both are coming from hitters' ballparks, Miller Park for Lucroy, Yankee Stadium for Beltran, and they're both going to another hitters' ballpark, which is definitely going to help out. Lucroy, I think, will improve even more, though, because he is going from the National League to the American League, and I don't think Beltran will miss a beat as he'll be comfortable. DH is the only thing he's going to have to focus on is hitting. And Joey Gallo not going on the move. And I think other teams sort of see he's a little bit of a bust. I think John Daniels is still hoping that he won't be one. And I think that he's not going to be able to do the job down the stretch. That's why they got Beltran. And it's going to work out great for the Rangers, as I already previously stated. And as for Beltran's postseason numbers, slugging mark over 600. And I said it doesn't necessarily mean success for the Rangers postseason if they do indeed get there, which I believe they will. History often times repeats itself. And Beltran, whether it be with the Giants, whether it be with the Cardinals or the Yankees, he's just always performed well in the postseason. And if the Rangers are going to go on a playoff push, Beltran's going to be a big part of that. And once they get to the playoffs, I think he'll also be a big part of the roster and the lineup that is put out there every day as well. And I think the Rangers, they needed to make a big splash because they've really outperformed their talent level so far. They have a 62-44 record, even though they've outscored their opponents by just 9 runs. The bullpen now includes Sam Dyson, Jeffries, Jake Diekman, and Keon Kola. Keon Kola is actually looking great after his recent DL stint. They have Matt Bush and they have Tony Barnett. With Dyson, Jeffries, and Bush, you have 3 relievers pushing 100 miles per hour. And with the 6-game lead after the Astros, who failed to make any additions, the Rangers now have to rank as favorites to win the division. And 62-44 was really too good for the talent level that they had. And you could just see an inevitable collapse coming up. But the Astros, they are reeling right now. But I think after the additions of Jeffries, Lucroy, and Beltran, they're definitely the favorites. And even though they only have a 6-game lead over the Astros, I do not think the Astros will be catching them anytime soon, because the Astros, they didn't do anything at the deadline. The Rangers did. They saw the needs they had, the wants that they had, and they went out and they got it. The Astros sort of just sat back, said they were having all these discussions, which I'm sure they were, but none of it came to fruition. And I really like the return the Brewers would have received from the Indians better than this one. Brinson is a high upside Tulsi outfielder. He has struggled in Double-A, though. Hitting .237 with a .280 OBP. He's only 22 years old, which fares well. But he's had one of the most disappointing seasons in the minors among top prospects entering the season. Keith Law, he still rates him the number 21 on his midseason top 50 list. Ortiz right now, he's a power righty. He's reached Double-A, and he's ranked 46 on Law's list. It's a good return, but Brinson is a boomer bust type, and the pitchers are always risky. So it's possible the Brewers get little out of this deal if things don't break right. And obviously not the best return for Lucroy. I think Brinson and I do think Ortiz will be bust. And I think the Rangers will fare well out of this trade. And I think down the line, the Brewers will think nothing of it, because we'll know Lucroy is a Ranger. A couple years down the line, we'll know Brinson and Ortiz is bust that allowed Lucroy to become a Ranger. So that's sort of that on the Texas Rangers AL West talk. Thank you for bearing with me on that one. We need to take a quick break, our last break of the show. But when we come back, we are going to be talking about I think we should talk a little bit more about the Rangers and how Lucroy, you know, is finally getting traded and he's finally going to the Rangers. Well, not necessarily about the Rangers, but he's finally definitely been traded, which works out for the best for everybody. And we will be talking about that after the break. We're back in Inside MLB, and we were just recently talking about the Rangers. They have acquired Jonathan Lucroy, Jeremy Jeffress, and Carlos Beltran. And obviously, that's going to be helping out for them and how they will be clear ALS favorites down the stretch. And I think we needed to go a little bit more in depth about Lucroy and Jeffress and how they came to the Rangers and what went back. Talked about it briefly, but I think that we need to talk a little bit about it more. And actually, a little bit of breaking news right now. The Pirates also threw in Reese McGuire into the trade for Drew Hutchison. And Reese McGuire has been a great pitching catching prospect for a while, but he's sort of blocked by Elias Diaz and by Francisco Cervelli since he's been signed long-term. And McGuire would have been great, but the Blue Jays, obviously we're getting Drew Hutchison in return, so I think it was a good trade. But McGuire, a bit of a surprise that the Pirates threw him in there as well. I thought Harold Ramirez was going to be the only throw. But officially, Lugano goes to the Blue Jays for Reese McGuire. No. Lugano, McGuire, and Ramirez go to the Blue Jays for pitcher Drew Hutchison. And I think the Blue Jays will be happy with McGuire. I do not know about Ramirez, but I think the Pirates will also be happy with Hutchison in return for Lugano, McGuire, and Harold Ramirez. So let's now talk about more about the Rangers trade and how they get Jonathan Lucroy and Jeremy Jeffress. And again, the Rangers, they made another big move. They acquired all-star catcher Jonathan Lucroy and reliever Jeremy Jeffress from the Milwaukee Brewers. As the trade deadline closed today, it was in the last hour that this deal sort of officially came out. And I thought it was a great move for the Rangers. I thought it was a great move for the Rangers. And I definitely do think they will fare well in the end with it. And the Rangers, they are sending out for Luis Brinson, right-hander Luis Ortiz, and a player to be later named to the Brewers. Texas completed the deal a day after Lucroy blocked a preliminary agreement the Brewers had to send to Cleveland. It was actually interesting because yesterday he pinch hit for the Brewers, and he actually got a standing ovation for vetoing that trade. They were happy about it. I'm pretty sure they won't be giving a standing ovation the next time he comes back. This is his second year in a row at the deadline that the Rangers acquired a top player who had first rejected a deal to another team. They got all-star left-hander Cole Hamels last season after the pitcher avoided a proposed trade that would have sent him from Philadelphia to Houston. I'm pretty sure Houston would love to have Cole Hamels right now after as they're going after the Rangers, but they're not getting him. And it would kind of be funny because a year from now, you'd see Jonathan Lucroy on the Indians, Cole Hamels on the Rangers, I mean, Astros, and you could see how different the Rangers would be than they are right now. And Lucroy tweeted out today, "Now moving on to the Rangers, let's take this bad boy to the ship. Really excited and can't wait to get after it." A lot exclamation marks in that too. So I think he's going to be excited to move to Texas and definitely will help them down the stretch. Jeffries, he is a 28-year-old right-hander. He is 2-2 with a 2.22 ERA and 47 appearances this season. He has definitely been great out of the bullpen and excited to see what he does with the Rangers because they are such a great bullpen and the Rangers are just adding to that. So definitely excited to see what this power right-hander will be able to do. Ortiz, who they gave up, is 20 years old right now. He's 4-6 with a 3.48 ERA for two clubs in the Rangers' minor league system. He's now pitching at AA Frisco. He was the Rangers' first-round pick in the 2014 draft. Definitely a good prospect. I don't think he will do much in the future. Brinson, 22 years old, is now 237 with 11 home runs and 41 RBIs in the minor leagues. He was also playing for Frisco at the time of the trade. He was the Giants' first-round pick in the 2012 draft. Again, I don't think he will do much in the big leagues. Anyway, Lucroy is 3 years old. He's batting .299 with 13 homers and 50 RBIs. He has a $4 million salary this year as a part of a contract that includes a $5.25 million team option for 2017. I do think the team will exercise that option. I do think he wants to stay in Texas for the rest of his career, unless he gets traded once more. He thanks Milwaukee's fans. He said, "Thank you, Brewers fans, for everything. Nothing but love and respect from our family. You will always have a special place in our hearts, but I think Texas is the place that he wants to be now." The Rangers and the Brewers, they'd been talking last week about a deal including Lucroy, but the talks ended when Milwaukee agreed to send Lucroy to Cleveland for four players. Yesterday morning, Lucroy, he refused to waive the no trade provision in his contract and vetoed the trade to the Indians. Cleveland was one of the 8 teams he could block. He can't block a deal with the Rangers. So I don't know why the Brewers tried to trade him to the Indians because you trade me to 22 teams, but I have the choice to veto it. But the only 8 teams you can't block me from, and one of them was the Indians. The fact that the Brewers tried to do that probably felt a little bit disrespected there. But the Rangers, can't block a deal with them, and I'm pretty sure he's excited to go there because he chose the Rangers as a non-blockable team because if he's going to go somewhere, he'd rather go to Texas. Earlier today, the Rangers acquired Carlos Beltran from the New York Yankees, and the Brewers had acquired catcher Andrew Susak in trade today. That sent reliever Will Smith to the San Francisco Giants, giving depth to compensate for the loss of Luke Roy. So Andrew Susak will be the starting catcher. Well, Martin Maldonado will probably be starting, but the Brewers needed to compensate for the loss, and they did just that with Andrew Susak. Okay, so that's pretty much the whole gist on the Jonathan Luke Roy trade and what went back and all of everything that has to do with that. That's where it wraps up our show for today. I thank you for tuning in. See you guys on Wednesday. Wednesday, do not know what time yet, please head over to our website, MLBinside.com. I'm Benson Spector. For now, have a great Monday and a great Tuesday. Gotta stay.